Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all?
Good.
I didn't see anybody sledding this morning. That's probably a good thing. We had a wonderful time yesterday, and I am in deep debt to our children's committee and all the volunteers who came and helped make that a reality. We had north of 100 people here. And that was wonderful. A lot of them community folks that we were able to spend some time with. I haven't looked in all the baskets, but I looked in the one in the atrium, and it looks like the Falcons have got this, is the way I'm seeing it. So that's a good thing, as far as I'm concerned. So, appreciate you bringing the different cans of soup to help us and be involved. You'll see there's a sign up for a brunch this coming Saturday. If we get enough that are interested, and we're asking that the cost of the admission for that is 4 more cans to help some of the neighborhood ministries that are helping folks less fortunate. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us to share with God's blessing. And today in the atrium, when you leave, you should find a sign, and that's where they're going to be. And there's also a steak. I'm going to say this 3 times. Don't throw the steak away. Keep the steak. The little metal wire steak, that's the steak. Don't throw that away. Because you're getting another sign in about 3 weeks. And that sign will have all the information about revival. So we're hoping by putting these signs out, are you ready? Have you heard? Or have you heard? Are you ready? That folks will say, why have you got that sign in your yard? And you're going to say, I am so glad you asked me that question. And you're going to invite them to come and be a part of our revival. I'd love to see these all over Deep River. And if you live in the outskirts somewhere, put it out there then. Maybe your neighbor will come and be able to be a part of that. You will see on the prayer list that I'm on it. And that's probably weird for some of y'all. It's really weird for me. But I am going to have some outpatient surgery this coming Tuesday. And so I will be with you next Sunday, more than likely. But I'm excited that our guest speaker for next Sunday is going to be Dr. Bradley Creed. And if you don't know who that is the president of Campbell University. He's going to be our guest speaker. He was in ministry and a pastor before he went into academia. And he has been at Campbell for almost 2 years now. He is doing a tremendous job. And he is going to be our guest speaker for next Sunday morning. So you might want to invite some folks. Not to think they wouldn't come hear me. I'm not even going there. But that might be a draw. Wouldn't it be great to have somebody here? He's promised that he will bring us an encouraging message, and I know you'll want to be a part of that. Also next Sunday, we're going to be moving Baptist men because we will be serving the ladies the following Sunday because Sunday week is Baptist Women's Day, and Miss Caroline Allen will be our guest speaker on that day. But we're going to be doing breakfast, the men are, for the ladies of the church. And so we're going to move Baptist men, our regular meeting, to this coming Sunday. So if you would, please note that and be involved where you need to be. There are several things you need to pick up on the side. One of them is a policy change for our finance committee since we changed the fiscal year. That information is out. You can pick that up for our business meeting next Sunday. There are many announcements. One thing we've done, and we started today, if you'd like to come by and be a part, we have a very short time of prayer. We're just going to begin to pray. We pray for Sunday school teachers. We pray for the Sunday school hour. We pray for the worship hour. We begin at 9:30 in my office. Maybe we'll grow to where we can't fit in my office. Wouldn't that be great? But if you'd like to come and be a part of that, I'm figuring it's going to take us a while to make that part of our habit. We're going to try to do that. We began today. We had 3, and we're going to keep doing that. If we don't ever get over 3, then 3 of us are going to be praying together for God to move in a mighty way. And so if you want to be a part of that, you are absolutely invited. I hope you've already marked your calendar for March the 12th. That's our high attendance Sunday. That's also the beginning of our revival. Dr. Haley will be with us. We are excited. God is doing some things. If you have a presence on Facebook, we're trying to load that down. I don't have a Twitter account or any of the other things. If you Instagram and do all that, I need you to flood that because I don't do that. But we are trying to get the word out because we are anticipating God doing great things during that week. So if you'll help us and be praying even now, put that sign out in your yard and be involved any way you need to. I'm afraid I'm missing something. Are there any other announcements that I need to make? Very good. I've been putting the 40-day calendar on Facebook. But I think there's some right over here. Okay. And our prayer coordinator, Luann, has compiled that for us. It's a very short focus. And I want to tell you, I think if you read that scripture and offer that prayer under that direction, I believe you'll be as prepared for revival as you possibly can be. But you know what? It's like a lot of things in life. We're providing everything we can. But you got to do it. I got to do it. If I don't do it, you don't do it. Even though it's out there, even though it's been well done, even though it's well planned, it won't have that effect because God wants to move in our hearts, doesn't he? And we've got to open those doors. And you got to open those doors through prayer. You got to open those doors through preparing yourself spiritually for God's anointing. And oh, when God pours out his anointing, how powerful it is. So we're providing every opportunity. I appreciate that time. And just, it won't take you 5 minutes to read that scripture, focus on that, and let that be your prayer beginnings for the week. And I believe that we will reap such results right now. Folks say, well, what do you hope is going to happen during revival? My brain's not that good. I can't figure out what God's up to. But I believe he's up to something, and I'm excited about that reality. Any other things we need to mention? There are sign-ups. I hope you'll read your bulletin. I know Sam's got the Valentine luncheon sign-up. A lot of things going on. So we've started back with our before school ministry on Wednesdays. We're here at 6:30. We have a little breakfast, and then around 7, we have a very short devotion. And then we launch our youngins out to head on to school and encourage them and pray for them before we do that. All right, well, if all hearts are content, then take a moment to center your life in God's presence right now in this worship center in this moment. Wonder what God would need to say today. Wonder what God would be up to in my life. Maybe you're wondering what he would be up to in your life. And we could look to hear his voice during this hour of worship that we might hear it. As the instruments play, would you take a moment to prepare yourself to worship the living God? Good morning, God. We have gathered in this place, and we have gathered in your name, and we have come to worship you, to praise your name above every name, to focus our heart, our mind, and our life upon who you are, and offering ourselves again afresh and anew, and asking, O God, that you might touch us with your love and with your grace, that you might challenge us with your pureness and your holiness, that you might strengthen us with your omnipotent power, that we might go from this place saying it was good to be in the house of the Lord and to worship him in spirit and in truth, to hear his voice, to heed your words, O God, and to do what you call us to do. Guide us and direct us. For it is in Christ's name we pray.
Today is the stone of outreach. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Go and make disciples. The last words spoken by Jesus to the church before he left for the throne of God to intercede on our behalf. Powerful words that we know by heart, but is a struggle for many to apply. Go and make disciples. Not a suggestion to go if we want to or have extra time or grow to some level of spiritual maturity, but we are commanded to go and share the gospel. That means every day we are to recognize that the people that cross our path, that they need the Lord. We are commanded by God to share with them that God loves them and can change their eternal destination. Last week we spoke of obedience, and the week before that, prayer. When we pray to God with an obedient spirit, then God will give us words and direct us in sharing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that convicts the sinner's heart, and it's the individual decision of every person to decide what they will do with the Holy Spirit's invitation. It's our job to go and share. Revival in past times was one of the two times in church life that many people would give their life to Christ. On March 15th, the last night of our revival services, we're emphasizing bring a friend and family night. This is a wonderful opportunity to invite someone to come. On that night, the entire service will be about sharing the gospel clearly, and with the goal of people accepting Christ as their Lord and Savior. Invite them to come and change their world, change their families and their future. Jesus said, go make disciples. That simply means share the gospel. Paul reminds us in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. If we go and share, the power of God will convict hearts and the power of the gospel will do its work. Do we want God to send down the revival fires? Will we build the altar using the stones of outreach? Will we go and make disciples? In closing, a song that always stays in my mind from my youth days is Go Where the People Are. And that chorus always has stayed with me, and I sing it a lot. And it says, go where the people are, give what you have to give, share what you have to share to help men really live. And just think about what it means to really live. And let's close with prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity and privilege to come to your house today. Lord, help us to know how and the whys and just all the questions that we have, that you're there with us when we do go out into the world to make disciples. Help us, Lord, to use outreach every day of our lives, wherever we are, at school, at work, in the grocery store, people we've come in contact with. Let them see the love of Jesus through us, and help us, Lord, to be bold and invite them to come to church and to come to a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
By singing hymn number 616. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you for bringing us here on another beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, prepare our hearts now for the coming revival we're about to have. Be with us, Lord. Be with those on our sick list. And bless us, Lord, and forgive us of our many sins. Use this offering for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Welcome all our children down. And got a new baby, too. of you snow sledded yesterday? Nobody? There's one. Okay, good. All right, there's another one. Glad to have you today. Okay, today I want to tell you a story about two horses. These two horses lived on a beautiful farm out in the field. And if you just looked at those horses at first, you would think that they were just any ordinary two horses. But if you look closer, you would see something quite amazing. If you got closer to those horses and looked into the eyes of one of the horses, you would see that that horse was blind. But he was such a good horse, he had always been such a good horse, that the farmer, the owner, did not want to get rid of him. He wanted to provide him a safe place to stay. So, if you listen carefully, you would hear the sound of a bell out in that pasture. And you look around and you see that that sound is coming from the small horse. He has that little bell connected to his halter. Because you see, that lets the blind horse know where his friend is. In other words, the horse with the bell is his eyes. He can hear that bell, and he follows the one with the bell. And you also notice something else amazing. The one wearing the bell watches his blind friend so closely to be sure that he doesn't go astray. The blind horse has to trust the other horse with the bell, and he does. He trusts him. He puts all his trust in him so that he will not be led astray. Isn't that wonderful? He makes sure that the blind horse gets to the barn at night. He doesn't get too far away so that that sound is not reaching his ears. So he can get to the barn that night and be safe. Now, you know, sometimes you and I will be in need. We will be like the blind horse, won't we? We will need that help at some point in time. Now, I'm not talking about us being blind, but we will need help. We will need a good friend to comfort us. God tells us to help each other, and that's the scripture I'm going to use today. It's Galatians 6, verse 2, and it says, listening, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What does it mean to carry each other's burdens? What does that mean? Caitlin? Their troubles, right? The burdens means troubles. That's right. To help them out. That's exactly right. So sometimes we will be that blind horse, and we will need somebody to help us to find the right way. Also, sometimes we will need to guide the blind horse. We will be that friend, too, helping someone else to see. And I don't really mean see. I mean help them with their friend, with their life. So I want you to please listen to my bell, and I will be listening for your bell, okay? You see, some people are blind. Though they can see with their eyes, they don't understand that Jesus is the Son of God. And that makes them blind in a way, doesn't it? That makes them have darkness in their heart if they don't know. Jesus tells us that we are the light of the world, right? You and I know Christ, so we are the light of the world. And that's the way we need to serve him. This is the way that we can help others love Jesus. Did you hear the revival word today? Outreach. Miss Maureen told us that's our word. Outreach means to reach out, doesn't it? And that's what I'm talking about. You need to reach out to help others. I read this the other day, and I really liked it. It said, be kinder than necessary, because there's always somebody out there that needs you. Right? Everywhere you go, there's somebody out there that needs you. And your job is to help them and to tell them about Jesus. All right? Reach out. All right, let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, please help us to deliver your light to children who do not know you. Help us to listen to God's bell so that we can hear and understand and serve others. In thy name we pray. Amen. See you next week.
What a mighty God we serve. Take your inserts in your bulletin, please. The words are there. Let's stand as we sing. What a mighty God we serve.
Job 4, 2-9. If someone tries to talk to you, will you become impatient? But who can keep from talking? Certainly, you have instructed many people. When hands were weak, you made them strong. When someone stumbled, you lifted him up with your words. When knees were weak, you gave them strength. But trouble comes to you and you're impatient. It touches you and you panic. Doesn't your fear of God give you confidence and your lifetime of integrity give you hope? Only evil people suffer. Now think about this. Which innocent person ever died an untimely death? Find me a decent person who has been destroyed. Whenever I saw those who plowed wickedness and planted misery, they gathered its harvest. God destroys them with his breath and kills them with a blast of his anger.
You'll look in your bulletin, you'll see our prayer concerns, and there are several. Brian Caldwell, a friend of many here, who's a school teacher who's dealing with cancer and those treatments. We want to keep him lifted up. Thank you for remembering Paul Leonard, my son-in-law. He is improving. He is home. I ask you to continue to pray with him as he continues to deal with the complications, really, from the Guillain-Barre that he suffered several years ago. It's good to see Vic with us today. He's still undergoing testing. Tony Reagan, where I saw Tony? Is that going to be outpatient they're going to do for you? No, it's not. Tony's having knee replacement this Thursday, and we want to be remembering Tony. We may start calling him the Bionic Man because he's got a lot of new hardware in there, but we hope that's going to do very well, and we want to keep him lifted up. Kathy's got some testing this week. And by the way, Kathy had hers already scheduled for Tuesday, so she's not going to be here. And I've scheduled mine for Tuesday, so I'm not going to be here. Don't call the office Tuesday, okay? I don't think it's going to be open. If you'd like to keep the office open for us, see one of us afterwards, and we might give you a opportunity to serve. But if not, the office will be closed this Tuesday. There are other names. Debbie Hurley is home. We want to continue to remember her. All the names listed are of such value. And I continue to believe this is our divine assignment by God each week, this prayer list, that we take it, that we use it. And again, the more we use it, the more God will hear the prayers of the faithful folks who pray. Pray with me. Dear God, would you speak to us now? As we continue to worship you, we've already heard your voice. We've already sung, what a mighty God we serve. We've already been reminded of you walking with us, even as you walked with Job. We are mindful, oh God, that your presence is here. And some of us, we need to be listening for the bell to find our way back. For others, we need to be sounding the bell for someone who needs to come back. Oh God, give us ears to hear and a heart to share your love. We mention these names of the needs that are before us. We ask your blessing upon each one, upon each surgery, upon each procedure. But God, we also ask that you might guide us and direct us as we find ourselves in the business not only of praying for physical healing, but also, Lord, as a church, and this being our community, oh God, we pray for spiritual healing as well. And we pray, oh God, that you might give us a heart for outreach, a heart to reach out in new ways, in different ways, or maybe, Lord, just for the first time, as your Spirit directs us. Continue to guide us. Continue to be with us this week, that we might live our life as salt and light in this community, that others may see our good works and glorify you in heaven. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir. I was enjoying that song. That's a song I remember when I was a youth. And then I thought probably our youth had never heard that song. So I guess things are old for a while, then they become new again, depending on where you put your foot in the water. But that was well done. Thank you so very, very much. If you have your Bibles, open them with me to Galatians chapter 6. That's page 418, and I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Page 975 in our pew Bibles, page 975. The book of Galatians is an angry letter. In fact, in all the epistles attributed to the Apostle Paul, it's the only one that has no thanksgiving in it. All the rest of them, he starts off saying, and I thank God, and he starts off with the Galatians, I am astonished at how quickly. He, in essence, says, I can't believe how quick you got saved. And yet in this sixth chapter are some of the most important verses, verses that probably all of us have remembered at least fragments of them, pieces of them. We've added them to our own way of thinking. And if we haven't, we ought to. So as you hear these powerful words, our thought this morning is, it's not my business. You ever said, that's not my business? I don't like people to mind my business. You like people to mind your business. So often we give ourselves, that's not my business. Or is it? Or is it? Well, there's some things maybe you and I need to find a way to take that mantra, it's not my business, out of our mind and out of our repertoire. Begin to say, oh yes, it is my business. It's my divine business. It's my holy business. It's why God created me. We call that sometimes outreach. Galatians chapter 6, we're going to read the first 11 verses. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring this portion of the reading of God's word. Brothers, and I might add, and sisters, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work. And then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you for a moment or two today continue the conversation you've been having with us as we praised your name? And would you speak clearly to us now as we continue to offer ourselves, saying, Lord, more of you and less of us. As we worship you, God, would you speak? In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What is our obligation to one another. If I were to share the mantra of the culture, it goes something like this. If you do me wrong one time, shame on you. If you do me wrong twice, y'all know, don't you? Shame on me. What does that teach us? It teaches us to keep our guard up, to insulate ourselves. It is difficult to keep one foot in the culture and one foot in our faith, isn't it? What's our obligation? Well, the second verse of our text says, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Do we have an obligation to all people? Or just the people that we choose to be involved with that are kind of like us, think like us, have the same idea? Maybe they're the part of this church family, or they're part of our political understanding, or they're part of our community as we understand it. But what about that rough part of town? The wrong side of the tracks? What about those people in other countries? How about each other? When have we crossed the line between caring and minding someone else's business? When is it appropriate to get in someone's face? Or is it ever? We may sometimes think we only have spiritual obligations. I think in a way maybe I was influenced that way growing up, that we pray. They used to say the difference between Baptist and Methodist, and I've said this before, I'm an equal opportunity offender. It says that, you know, if you go with a need and you go see a Methodist, they'll give you some money but won't pray for you. If you go see a Baptist, they'll pray for you and won't give you any money. But which way is it? What is our obligation? I heard a story about a ship that was sinking, and the captain called everyone to the brig, and he says, guys, we'll probably have to abandon ship. This is not looking good. And I just need to know, is there anybody here who can pray? I mean, really pray. And one crewman raised his hand, to which he said, yes, sir, I know how to pray. And the captain said, wonderful. He said, son, you start praying. The rest of you put on life jackets. We're one short. Is that how we see spirituality? It's just when the ship's going down and maybe I've got my life jacket, I'm okay. I'll just pray for you. Or maybe you just pray for yourself. What is this bearing one another's burdens? What's our obligation to backsliders? Any backsliders we know about? To those who just have fallen. Life's just beat them up and they've been so frustrated. They've been so aggravated. Maybe they're aggravated with the church. Maybe they're aggravated with a preacher. Maybe they're aggravated with a Sunday school teacher. But they've just quit. They've just given up. And then that large group, that group that every year when Pew Research and Barna do the research to find out what Americans are saying about their faith, the growing number is those that are lost, we would call them. They just say they're non-faith kind of people. What's our obligation to them? Well, the first verse says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual, you should restore them in a spirit of gentleness and keeping watch on yourself, lest you too should be tempted. It's interesting. It's hard to restore sometimes. Someone has said, there's no mean like Christian mean. And I've seen the people of God do some pretty dastardly things. I'm here to tell you, I've seen the people of God do more good things than dastardly. But it seems like people, especially lost people, talk more about those bad things we've done. We've got to be careful. It's always important. It's said that on May the 2nd, 1863, that's a significant date in history, and probably you don't know exactly what it is, but if you are a Civil War buff, it's a significant time because there was a battle in Chancellorsville. And on May the 2nd, General Stonewall Jackson and his staff were returning to their own camp when they were mistaken to be Union forces. And it was actually a regiment from North Carolina who gave the word for them to stop, and they didn't stop quite as quick as they thought they should, and they opened fire and they struck Stonewall Jackson, General Jackson, in both two bullets in his left arm and one in the right, which doesn't sound like that's too bad, but unfortunately they had to amputate one arm, and in that process he contracted pneumonia, and on May the 10th, 1863, Stonewall Jackson died of injuries that were inflicted upon him by his own men. By his own men. We've got to be careful. You know, we can't shoot our wounded, can we? That's not the way it should be. We always need to be keeping our eyes open for the fallen. It's easy for folks to come into the church, and some have said they come in the front door and go out the back door. We've got high attendance Sunday on March the 12th. That's a wonderful opportunity for us to reclaim. Get out your inactive list. Get out that list of people who are on your rolls or on your radar and encourage them to come back. I remember a song from the 60s by the Hollies. You might remember hearing it. It's become kind of famous. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. There's several renditions of the story. I did some research on it, and it seems the oldest story I could find goes all the way back to 1884, when there was a little girl carrying her big baby brother. And seeing her struggle, someone said, "Can I help you?" To which she replied in her country tone, "No, he ain't heavy. He's my brother. He's my brother." Oh, doesn't that just make you feel good when you hear that? Can't you just see that little five-year-old girl struggling with that two-year-old toddler, and you could just see her pulling as hard as she could, trying to hold him, and then she made that angelic pronouncement. He ain't heavy. He's my brother. Oh, brothers, that's the church, isn't it? Sisters, that's the church. You ain't heavy. You're my brother. You're my sister. When you get in trouble, that's okay. I love you anyway. We're here for the long haul, you and I. Oh, it's easy to give up, isn't it? You see, love can take the weight away. But when I become too self-centered, or I only want to serve folks that look like me or might have something to add to me or help me, and sometimes in church, that's how we see it, then I've got a love problem, don't I? God, he made it pretty plain, didn't he? Remember how he said we're supposed to love? I mean, he just said, "You want to know how you love? I'm glad you asked me. Here's how you love. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength and all your very soul and your neighbor as yourself." Oh, that neighbor that might always call at the wrong time, that always seems to have a hard problem, he ain't heavy. Not if he's my brother. Sometimes it's easy to give up, though, when it gets tough, isn't it? When people are hard-headed. Y'all know any hard-headed people? I didn't think so. We don't know any hard-headed people, do we? Let me ask you. Let me go into meddling now. You ever been hard-headed? You ever been hard-headed? Bible says don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Don't give up when it gets to be tough. And sometimes it's tough. Sometimes they don't look right. Sometimes they don't smell right. Sometimes they don't act right. Let's just go ahead and tell the whole truth. Sometimes they're not right. But they're still our brother. They're still our sister. They're our mission field. I remember when I went down after Hurricane Andrew on my first mission trip years and years ago. And the WMU had been having this little, it was the little church's name was Macedonia. And we said we were answering the Macedonia call when I was pastor of East Irwin. And we went down to Macedonia after that storm had destroyed. And we stayed a couple of nights in the fellowship hall. And it was interesting because the Wednesday night before the storm came, before Andrew hit, they had a mission study. And the WMU director had made a little sign. She just made a little bitty sign, you know, with a marker and a piece of post board. And she had put it over the fellowship hall door. And it said, "You are now entering the mission field when you walk out this door." That impressed the church at East Irwin so bad, one of my little ladies did a needlepoint. And we put that on the in our sanctuary. When you walk out the doors, you're now entering the mission field. Those folks that don't look like us, don't act like us, don't smell like us, who live about a quarter of a mile that way and a half mile that way and just down the road that way and not very far back that way. That's our mission field. That's where God has planted you and I to be making a difference. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know it gets tough. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes they are hard to be with. Sometimes I'm hard to be with. And I'm glad you're sitting down because sometimes you're hard to be with. But you ain't heavy because you're my brother. And you're my sister. And we're in this for the long haul. Oh, sometimes it gets tough. I love that in 1915, Fort Rucker, Alabama was changed. There's only, as far as I know, now there may be now, but when I read this, there's only one monument in the world in the shape of a bug. And it's to honor a bug that was located in Fort Rucker, Alabama. For in 1915, the Mexican boll weevil invaded southeast Alabama and destroyed almost 60% of the cotton crop. And it was a dark time, and they did not want a monument in 1915 to the boll weevil. They were cursing the boll weevil. They were unhappy about that stinking bug that had ruined their lives. But out of desperation, and because the bug was such an infestation, there was only one thing to do. And so the farmers in that day, in desperation, turned to planting peanuts. And by 1917, the peanut industry had become so profitable that the county harvested more peanuts there around Fort Rucker than anywhere else in the nation. And they had made the highest profit in the town they'd ever made. And so in 1917, they erected a statue with these words inscribed: "In profound appreciation to the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity." Sometimes the storms, sometimes the difficult people, sometimes the boll weevils, when we give them to God, they become a blessing. They can maybe change us from some attitudes that we need to be changed from. We don't know about things, how they're going to be. We don't know what's going to happen this week. I didn't know last Sunday when I was sitting here I'd be having surgery this Tuesday. We just don't know. Life is pretty unpredictable. And we don't know how things will turn out. We don't know about the outcome because sometimes we can't control that. But you know what we can control? You and I, we can control the input. I heard a story Now, you know, our ushers bring the money right back here, and you watch them go out and pair. So this has nothing to do with our ushers. How do you like that disclaimer before I tell the story? But I heard about a church where there was one usher that he would always stand in front of the church, and he would drop a $20 bill in the collection plate, and then he'd start, everybody saw him drop that $20 bill in the collection plate, and then he'd start to tell, I think he was just priming the pump. That's all I think he was doing. You know, he's setting the bar high. But then he had a habit of when he got to the back, he'd take that 20 back out and drop in a dollar. Well, that had gone on for a while, Sunday after Sunday, until one day it caught the attention of little Willie, the 8-year-old boy who never bowed his head during prayer. You got any kids? Y'all need to bow your heads during prayer. And he kept watching for about 3 weeks. He watched what was going on and how this usher was doing it. And one time he looked and the guy was kind of fumbling. And I don't know, it must have been the Holy Spirit. I don't know, or maybe another spirit. But little Willie just hollered out at the usher. He said, hey, if you'd have put more in, you could have taken more out. See? He had that figured out, didn't he? He saw him put it in. And then he got, you know, could I ask us a question? Are you going to take out more worship today than you brought in? God's here. Amen. Oh, if we miss that, woo, we just wasted a good hour. But if God's here, and if God said something today, and if God's speaking today, and if God's got a word for your life and for my life, for your home and for my home, for this community, what would we put in? What will we invest? What will we invest in our neighbors? What will we invest in each other? You see, I don't know how it's going to turn out. All I know is what I can do. And I can begin today to try harder today than I did yesterday to love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my strength, with all my soul, and my neighbor as myself. I can input how much I invest in you. And you can input how much you invest in me as a church. We can decide whether we're going to be half-hearted or whole-hearted. I'm totally convinced that half-hearted is hell-bound. I'm totally convinced that half-hearted is hell-bound. And I'm equally as convinced that whole-hearted is heavenly-bound. And we can decide. We can decide how we'll do home when we leave this building. We can walk in with what we brought, and we can walk right back out with what we brought. And this week will look an awful lot like last week. We can decide today that we will bear one another's burdens, that we will love as God has loved us, that we won't grow weary in doing well, even when we're hard-headed, and even when others are hard-headed, we will love. We will love as Christ loved us. Whose business is it? Our neighbor's. If it's not ours. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Dear God, would you speak to us in this moment, and may we hear in this moment your voice. You may be saying to a dad, Dad, you're not spending enough time, or you're spending the wrong time. You may say to a mom, you need to pray more or hug harder. You may be saying to a grandparent, you need to back off or you need to rush in. You may be saying to us who have neighbors, we just wait too long. It's time to go over and have a serious conversation. But Lord, I believe you're speaking right now. And Lord, I've got to be honest. Too many times I've come in and dropped in a little and then taken that same amount right back out with me. But today, oh God, I want to invest in you fully. And I want to invest in the people of Flat Springs Baptist Church fully. For I believe in these difficult days that you can do a mighty work in the midst of this congregation. Lord, forgive me when I've been half-hearted. God, make us wholehearted in all that we do, that you may receive all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 483. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, we would invite you, encourage you to do as the Spirit leads, as we stand together. For just a second. This past week, Emily Beauvais and I had a conversation, and she comes today professing Jesus Christ as her Lord and as her Savior, and asked that upon her baptism she be received into our church family as a church member. Do I hear a motion that we receive her into our fellowship? I hear motions and seconds. If you would join me in welcoming her, would you indicate that by saying hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Emily, we're going to try to continue to be the church that you need, that you can grow into the special young lady that God is preparing you to be. And this is a great day. You know, the Bible says that when somebody makes this decision, all the angels in heaven are rejoicing. Isn't that exciting stuff? And I can hear them right now. That's good stuff. What a great day. Would you stand with me? Emily, I'm going to ask you and whoever wants to join me at the door at the end of our service. We are building the altar upon which God will pour out revival power. I want to thank everyone. I feel God's Spirit moving in some fresh new ways. Let's continue to pray for God to do in our midst what we'll know when it's been done. We didn't do it. We couldn't have done it. Only God could do it. That's my prayer. I hope that's yours. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in God's abiding presence, that we might be His people taking care of the business of all His people. Would you pray? God, I rejoice with the angels today at this precious life making the most important decision of her life at 8 years of age. And God, I pray that this church would would love her and embrace her and pray for her and set an example for her that she might grow to be one of your special servants. God, it's a tremendous task. But Lord, I'm grateful that we ain't heavy. We're brothers and sisters in this place. Go with us now. In Christ's name we pray.